want to, if time would permit, talk about, excuse me, four individuals who demonstrated their faith. Our scripture text this afternoon or this evening is found in James chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. And let me just read it at the beginning. And of course, we will save it for the end. We'll end our lesson talking about this particular scripture in the person of Abraham. The Bible says, beginning at verse number 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. The scripture declares in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse number 6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. It goes on and says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Certainly then, when one puts his or her faith in God, it brings joy to God. Not only does it bring joy, but it brings spiritual blessings from God. The one who truly believes and trusts God will demonstrate such trust no matter what the circumstances may be. We talked about some circumstances this morning that could have deterred or stopped these four men from bringing this man to Jesus, but they demonstrated true faith, and they did not allow the circumstances that they were met with to stop them from getting this man to Jesus. So again, then, let's look at some instances in Scripture with some individuals in Scripture who demonstrated their faith. We're going to talk about three, and then we'll close out talking about the fourth one, the man Abraham. In the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, we have the account there of a centurion, a man who is in charge of a group of soldiers. We find him having a servant, he says, that was at home that was sick of the palsy, the very same condition that afflicted the man that we talked about in Mark chapter 2 this morning. The Bible says that this servant was grievously tormented. Verse 7 says, and Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Keep that phrase in your mind. I am not worthy. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. What Jesus was saying, I have not found so great a faith demonstrated not in Israel. Again, this servant was seriously ill, grievously tormented, the Bible says, afflicted at home. And Jesus says, I'll come and take care of the problem. But the centurion said this, I am unworthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He believed that Jesus could just speak the word, and his servant would be healed. Told us to remember the phrase, I am unworthy. It didn't matter that this man was in charge of a group of soldiers. It didn't matter that he had a position, if you will, by being in charge of these soldiers. He still felt that he was unworthy. But he said to Jesus, just speak the word. His feeling unworthy was a great demonstration of faith. And of course, his belief in Jesus. And Jesus then commended him on his attitude and on his faith. He says again, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. I don't care what position we may hold in society. I don't care what kind of house we live in. I don't care how much money we have in the bank. I don't care how many friends and associates we have. I don't care what kind of car we drive in. I don't care if we can take a cruise every week if we wanted to. We are still unworthy of the blessings of God. Humility is a thing that all of us need to have. Recognize the fact that we are unworthy. Even as in Luke's Gospels, Luke 17 and verse 5, we need to consider ourselves as an unprofitable servant. So this centurion, even though he had a position, even though he was in charge of soldiers, he felt unworthy for Jesus to come under his roof. And so he says, just speak the word. I believe my servant will be healed. You see, true faith will induce humility in us. And it is only when we are humble that God can bless us. I said that true faith, as I started out tonight, brings blessings from God. And I'm talking about spiritual blessings. And of course, there are some physical blessings also that will come as a result. But specifically, spiritual blessings come from God when we exercise true faith in Him. But it'll never be exercised unless we feel unworthy. Because again, we'll think that God is blessing us because He's supposed to. Or that God is blessing us because we are who we are. God is not blessing us because of who we are. He's blessing us because of who He is. Thank God that He is God. And so this centurion felt unworthy. But Jesus commended him and said, in all of Israel, I have not seen such faith like this demonstrated. What a great commendation was placed upon this man because of his feeling unworthy. And then there's another case in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse verses 21 through 28, that talks about a woman of Syrophoenicia. And in this account, she's called the Canaanite, or Canaanite woman. She is in somewhat the same position that this centurion was in. He had a servant that had palsy and was grievously tormented. But she had a daughter that was sick, grievously vexed, the Bible says, with a devil. Verse number 22. And so she made her request. She came to Jesus, looking for help from Jesus. And it appears that Jesus ignored her first request. Verse number 23, look at what it says. It says, but he answered her not a word. Can you see her somehow, perhaps, getting disappointed, getting discouraged? Well, she may have been discouraged. She may have been disappointed, but she didn't let her discouragement, she didn't let her disappointment weaken or dampen her faith, her trust in Jesus. Not only could that have perhaps discouraged her, but the disciples that were with Jesus said, send her away. Can you imagine the thoughts that perhaps could have run through her mind? They don't even want me around here. Send her away because she's crying after us. She's doing all of this begging you, all of this beseeching you. We don't even want her in our company. Jesus began to say this, seemingly like just speaking to the disciples. In verse number 24, the Bible says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She hearing this, no doubt. The Bible says in the next verse that she came and she worshiped him. And she said, Lord, help me. Do you see her face still strong? I've said already that with him at first seeming to ignore her could have discouraged her. Then I've said that the disciples saying, send her away, could have discouraged her. Well, if it had discouraged, if it discouraged her, it didn't discourage her enough to stay there and to beg and cry out again, Lord, help me. She had a need that she needed the Lord to fill. She wanted some help for her daughter. And then he responds to her in verse number 26. He says this, but he answered and said, it is not meet, not suitable, not the right thing to do to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. But then she said something in the next verse. She says this, of a truth, Lord, you're right. But yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You know what seemed like what she was saying in another way of putting this? I know that I don't eat from the master's table. But look like I ought to get some crumbs. To put it another way, whatever way you want to help me, I'll take it. Again, that shows even some humility on her part. Whatever you want to do for me, I'll take it. I'll take the crumbs. If all I can get is the crumbs, I'm satisfied with the crumbs. And then notice what Jesus says to her in verse 28. He answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. You see the demonstration of faith? Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole, the Bible says, from that very hour. You see, true faith, one that truly trusts in God, believes in God, and trusts in God, is satisfied with however the Lord chooses to bless. We go to the Lord and we pray for this and we pray for that. But if the Lord chooses to bless us with this and bless us with that, all well and good. But if our faith is still strong, and if he decides not to bless us in the way that we would hope for him to bless us, we are still satisfied because we have trust and faith in God. We know he knows best. That's a great demonstration of our faith. Lord, I want you to bless me with this, but you didn't bless me with that. You blessed me with this other thing. I know you know what's right, and you know what's best. So the woman said in so many words, if all I can get is the crumbs, I'll take it. However you want to bless me, I'll take it. The song says sometime, that is sung in various places, any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. That's a great demonstration of faith. So we see the centurion's faith being demonstrated. We see the Canaanite's woman being demonstrated. Then there's another case. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus teaches a great lesson on the faith that is needed in prayer. And the Bible says in verse number 1 of Luke chapter 18, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose, that men ought always to pray and not faint. He speaks a parable. And he explains to them in this parable how they needed to be persistent in prayer. And he relates the story in the parable. And he says that there was a certain woman, a certain widow, who was in this city, and she came to this judge who feared not God, the Bible says, neither did he regard man, asking the judge, this unjust judge, pleading with this unjust judge, coming to him continuously, asking him to avenge my adversary. In other words, my adversary, I need some justice from this situation. Bible says that this unjust judge finally said, though I don't fear God, though I don't regard man, yet lest this woman weary me with her continual coming, I'm going to grant her request. And the Lord commended her in the story. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 6 through 8. The Bible says this. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Then he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? In other words, he wanted to see the same kind of faith in you and in me that he saw in this widow in this story. And he says in so many words, if an unjust judge would do this, don't you think the God of heaven, who is just in everything that he does, don't you think he'll do the same thing for your prayers that this unjust judge did for this widow? He is saying, I want to see the same kind of faith in you. So therefore, he says again, men ought to always pray and not faint. Sometimes maybe the reason why we don't get the answer from God that we want to get is because we faint along the way. We pray one time, we pray two times. And if it haven't happened then we try it on our own. God may not just be ready to bless us in that way just then. So we need to continually go and continually beseech God, just like this woman continually besought this unjust judge. And if God commended her, I know he'll commend us for that faith. She had an unwavering faith. She had a persistent faith. And the Lord is pleased with this kind of faith. Don't you want the Lord to be pleased with you? I want the Lord to be pleased with me. And so we have seen three individuals whom the Lord commended for their faith that they demonstrated in their lives. Let's look at the last one, Abraham. The Bible says in James again, chapter 2 and verse number 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered his son Isaac upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. The story is written for us in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 22. We're familiar with it, I'm sure. The first two verses, God says to Abraham, Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test or try Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. You continue to read there, you'll find that the Bible says that Abraham arose early in the morning and began his journey. So Abraham then went on his journey without question. What a great demonstration of faith. Not one time did Abraham question God as to why you want me to give my only son. Of course, we would remember when God first called Abraham to come out of the land of his fathers and go into a land where he was going to show him. He didn't question then. So on this occasion here, he does not question God. He demonstrates his faith in God, his trust in God, his belief in God by rising early in the morning to go up to the place to offer his son. And the reason why he trusted God so was because he believed that even if he would offer his son up, that God would raise him from the dead. Look at what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. The Bible says this, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall all, or rather shall thy seed be called, according that God was, accounting that God was able to do what? Raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham trusted God, believe that God would raise him up. And the reason why I know that, because we can go back to the book of Genesis, and Reginald, if you can pull up Genesis 22 and verse number 5, and notice something that Abraham said to his servants as they are preparing to go up to offer Isaac upon the altar. He says something very profound to his servants. And the only reason he says this is because he has true faith and trust in God. He says that we are going up. Do we have it up? There it is. Notice what he says. After God has told him, now Go up to the mountain where I'm going to show you. Look at what he said. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. But what? And come again to you. I'm going to come to you. The lad is going to come back to you. That's trust. That's what Hebrews 11 was talking about. That even if he offered his son, Abraham believed that God would raise him up. So he makes a statement like this. He said, we're going up and we're coming back. That's great faith demonstrated. And I believe that even Abraham, being the man that he was, the faithful man that he was, that even if God had not provided that sacrifice, that ram, that he still would have offered it on that altar. Why do I believe that? Because he was ready to do it. You continue to read in the book of Genesis and you'll see that he has stretched back his hand with the knife, and before the knife comes down, he said, look in the book, in the bush. There's a ram caught there in the thicket. Abraham was demonstrating his faith. What a great demonstration of faith. That's the kind of faith that pleases God. Faith that will take God at his word and do what God say, no matter what the circumstances are. It's taking God at his word and obeying him without questioning. I remember, and you would remember, in John chapter 2, at that wedding in Cana of Galilee. And when the wine ran out, they came to the mother of Jesus and told her that the wine has run out. She says to her servant, whatever he says to you, do it. That's confidence and trust, that whatever he says, that's what you do. And when we believe God to the point that we can do what he says, great spiritual blessings will come our way. You see, we all don't always have to have a reason as to why God say do what he says. As you said this morning, Jim, in the Bible school lesson, because the Bible says so. That's why I'm doing it. I may not understand it, but if God says it, I'm going to do it. That's great faith being demonstrated. True faith, then, walks not by sight, but true faith walks by trust and belief in God. And that's how God wants us to trust him. That's how he wants us to believe him. These four individuals that I've shared with you this evening, they face some trying circumstances, just like the trying circumstance that was faced by these four men that we studied about this morning in Mark 2. But no matter what they faced, they put their trust in the one whom they believe could help their situation. Brothers and sisters, tonight, only God can help us in the challenging times of life. Let us continue to demonstrate our faith. Let us continue to trust in God and obey God, even when it seems like it's all wrong. Obey God anyway, because God is never wrong. Faith demonstrated. Will we demonstrate our faith by living the type of life that God has required of us to live? If you're here in the end this evening, and again, as I said this morning, maybe your faith is growing weak. Maybe you see some areas in your life where you have not demonstrated your faith the way that you should. You have not shown that trust and confidence in God that you ought to. Then you need to have a faith check. You have not obeyed the gospel. I want to encourage you to do that. By putting him on in baptism, let him add you to his church. You need to confess of an error in the way of which you've repented. We beg you to come. If you need just prayer for some reason in your life, we beg you to come. Demonstrate your faith in Jesus, because he's the only one that can help us. If you need to come in any way tonight, while we stand, while we sing, would you come?
To follow Jesus, I have decided. To follow Jesus, I have decided.